Yeah, man, it's going down. It's Donnie Houston Podcast. I'm Donnie Houston. Check it out, man. We got a very special guest today, man. Hey, man, he's came up on the show a million times, man. You know what I'm saying? We always talked about his freestyle ability, you know what I'm saying, since a young age, you know what I'm saying? More recently on the LD episode, also on the DJ Gold episode, you know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about some of that as well. But, hey, man, returning for the second time, man, it's the Freestyle King, Lil Flip. What's going down?
Hey, man, say, man, what it do, my guy?
Chillin', man, what's going down?
Hey, I'm still working smart, not hard, man, enjoying my life. You know, it's a pandemic going on, but it ain't stopping nothing, you know, just maneuvering, opening up other parts of my brain, like the movie Limitless.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, you got the new soda, I see, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the Exotic Pop, the Leprechaun Cream, the Red Cream Soda. It'll be out on my birthday, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm still working. A lot of people, they didn't even know I own a percentage of Exotic Pop.
Oh, yeah. You so know? Not just ambassador, but a part owner as well.
Yeah, man. What I've learned, man, with life and businesses, you know, sometimes it's best to not even put your name on shit you own. Because, you know, people say they support you, and then when you know, it's time to support. Right now, all your partners, everybody watching this or listening to this, look, all your partners that say they're your partners, if you do music right now, go to all your partners' phones right now and go into their iTunes playlist, Apple Music, whatever the case it is, Google Play, however, Spotify. If you don't see your shit in there, man, hey, man, say, man, I don't know if them your partners, man. You know, you got to support with your actions and not with your mouth.
Yeah. So, I mean, what else you got going on, man? I know you always got a million other things going, man. Yeah, what, the new strain or something you just showing me, right?
Let's see. Yeah, I got Flip Lotto strain coming, my own strain. You know, I'm a cookies guy. I love cookies. I love gelato. So, you know, the cream team, you know what I'm saying, out there in the Bay. I bumped into them at the Super Bowl. We chopped it up. So that's going on. I got a few more strains coming, too. I got the Lil Flip Leprechaun, the cereal spray. I got my air freshener coming. The Exotic Pop shit going. And then, like me and Zero, we were supposed to put out Kings of the South Part 2, like in 2020. But we pushed it back to, you know, this year. So I'm like, okay, well, he dropped Rohamed Ali. You know, when the whole debate for the Freestyle King thing came up again, you know, I had to just let people know one of my other aliases that I ain't been using, Flip Mayweather, you know what I mean? So I'm like, all right, well, Rohamed Ali came out, well, I'm going to throw out this Flip Mayweather mixtape to hold him over to me and Ro album come out. So I went in the lab. It's hard as fuck. It's crazy. And I went in the lab with XO, you know. Me and him, Ben, was supposed to work. But every time we were bumping to each other, we had a club, you know what I mean? It's like, it wasn't in no, you know, like, studio set.
Wasn't a working environment.
Yeah, and then sometimes when I get to working on my projects, like, I go in this vibe, in this mode. If I lock in with a producer, and that producer is able to give me, like, a variety of what I want, you know what I'm saying? Because some producers, you might only go get, you know, get them for a club record, you know, give me one or two and that's it. Every producer can't handle sonically producing your whole album with you and giving you that full feel, you know what I mean? So sometimes, shit, when I get in the zone with somebody who giving me all the sounds I want, then I just gonna knock the album out and finish it, you know what I mean? But after working with him and seeing his growth as a musician, a singer with harmonies, just rapping, and you know he produced that record for Moneybagg Yo and Black Youngster. That 1, 2, 3, dude, let's go.
Right.
So it's like, but dude, he a fool, man. So y'all look out for XO, man. Flip Mayweather mixtape. He on 3 records, and he made 5 beats.
Mm.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. So man, like,
it's hosted by Teddy Long, Hall of Fame legend, WWE. Hall of Fame, the first black general manager of WWE, the guy who used to always say, you got to go one-on-one with The Undertaker. He hosted the mixtape for me, so I can't leave him out because he brought a sense of humor to it, man, and he came in town, and we interviewed him for my podcast, The Truth Shall Set You Free podcast, and he was so amazed by the set. He like, man, I want you to do my podcast. You know what I mean? So he talked to me and ADOT, and now we executive, you know, produce him and Tony Snow's podcast. Because Teddy Long, his word, his catchphrase is, hold on a minute, player. You know what I mean? So that's the name of the podcast. So now his podcast is coming out through me. So it's going down.
Mm. That's what's up. Yeah. Well, yeah, man, like I was saying, you know what I'm saying, in the intro, man, when I had LD and Gold on here, they was talking about that, like, just back in, like, at Stadium Bowl and Club Unique era, man, like, that whole freestyle thing, man, like, how you really was over there just killing that shit, dog. Can you just talk about how that shit really was back then?
Man, like, that's why the Flip Mayweather alias really go with who I am. Because I tell everybody, I'm born in it and I sworn in it. You know, you got a lot of people, they started rapping when they was 12 or 15 or 18. Some people grown, you know, like 30. You know, me and my family, and I stress this in, like, music that I record as well. In my family, if you born in my family, you doing music. It's not no, my grandmother didn't be like, hey, you want to, no, this is what we do. This the family business. We do this, you know what I mean? So I was already doing it, man, you know? And so I knew if I wanted to be the best and be respected as the best, I had to go beat the best, rap with the best, freestyle against the best, be on records with, you know what I mean? I had to just make sure every moment that I got, I had to shine. So I was battling people at Stadium Bowl, Club Unique, Drumsticks, parking lots, Cornbreads, skating rinks. It was a place called Super Skate on MLK back in the day. We used to go there. Skating rink out there, like in Clear Lake. We used to go one by Alameda, like talent shows, just joking comedy club. Man, I was everywhere, you know what I mean? And giving everybody their work, like old niggas, young niggas, you know what I mean? And it just put me in that mode of, like, it don't matter the atmosphere, the type of record, I'm able to adapt. You know how people be like, man, what's your style? I don't have one. Because I can rap fast, slow, do something for the ladies, do something for the streets. It don't matter. You got some artists when they try to, let's say it's an artist and he's known for just being street. Sometimes when they try to record records for the ladies, you can tell it's forced, you know what I mean? You like, and they sound like they out of their element, you know what I mean? Everybody can't talk their talk and really, you know, live it and really, you know, paint the picture vividly to the point where you like, damn, he gotta know what the fuck he talking about, like, you know what I mean? So it's just authentic. But yeah, them was the good old days. And Gold, LD, Screw, like, they saw me. DJ Big Red, he used to DJ. You know what I'm saying? At Stadium Bowl and Club Unique. Rest in peace to Wicked Cricket. He used to let me freestyle at all the clubs he was at. Boomerang. I was in every club, you know what I'm saying, at a young age. I'm talking about between 9, 10, 11, 12, you know what I mean, in the club freestyling. Because it was for the adults, for me to be that advanced as a kid with my vocabulary, it was like they always wanted to show me off. Hey, man, freestyle, man, show them. You know what I mean? So it was just kind of like, hey, and I just rose up in the ranks, you know what I mean, amongst the music industry as well as the streets, you know what I mean? So, because the people who I hung out with and did things with, you couldn't hang around them and be no sucker. The after-hours spots and the cornbreads and the dice places, just the whole shebang, bang, bang, shaboing, boing, boing, man. Like, you couldn't be no hoe-ass nigga and hang with the dudes I was hanging with. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And be able to maneuver comfortably with your jewelry and you know what I mean? And go to different hoods and be respected and show love as well. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, them days, man, I still got that hunger.
Yeah.
And that's why when the debate about the Freestyle King thing came up again, I said, let me go on and show y'all what my work here like. You know what I mean? And so 7 days I freestyled. And then I gave them an 8th day, a bonus day. I had Michael Watts come to my house. You know, one day it was me and Shasta in the truck freestyling, like the fans loved us from the June 27 freestyle with me, him, and Pokey at the Kappa. So we gave them that vibe on the first one. And then day two, what did I do? I think I went to Go DJ High C House and made it like on some WWE, WWF shit. I came out with the Punisher mask and all that, and High C had it all high tech. It was just crazy. And then we and Shasta went back to the Suburban, because the fans was like, I like it when you and Shasta in the Suburban. Then one day I just walked through my whole hood freestyling. You know what I mean? But yeah, man, I still got the same hunger I had when I came in the game.
Yeah. But I did see the one where you was walking through the Cloverland, man. Yeah. That was pretty tough. Now with the Leprechaun thing, like how early, like what is that for you, where does that come from? You know what I'm saying?
The Leprechaun comes from this. I'm born March 3rd. I'm born in the month of March, for starters. Right? So I've always been infatuated with Notre Dame and Leprechauns, right? My favorite movie one of my favorite movies was The Leprechaun.
That's a little funny motherfucker. Right. Man, yeah.
My favorite cereal, Lucky Charms. This is as a kid, you feel me? Like,
just naturally, it's just what you gravitate to.
And then my family owns three houses in Cloverland. You know what I mean? Like my whole life, you know what I mean? So it just all kind of went together. It's like I call myself a little leprechaun because I feel like I'm blessed but lucky at the same time. You know what I mean? So, and then my mom, rest in peace to my mom, God bless her. So because I used to, like she always, it's so funny, she always would mess with me about the ears. She'd be like, you do got them little bitty leprechaun ears. So when I did do my album cover, she was like, I see they even gave you the leprechaun ears. And I'm like, nah, them my real ears, mom. Like, and she bust out laughing. But yeah, man, that shit was really some kiddie shit. Like more so, that's where I came up with it. I was just a kid. So I always thought I was a little leprechaun. I'm born in March. My family stay in Cloverland. We just lucky. Shamrocks, it just all went. I love the Notre Dame logo. I got this shit tatted on me. You know, so it come from the cereal and watching the movie. You know what I'm saying? And being from Cloverland and being born in March. Yeah. All of those factors.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, man. You know, with the whole thing with Third, did you know there was an existence of a leprechaun first with that whole thing? Or is it just like y'all both were just a leprechaun? Just coincidence?
I didn't know. I feel like
y'all from Cloverland, y'all both.
Yeah,
young.
It was kinda like we was a lot of people in my hood, we was infatuated with the whole aura of clovers and shamrocks and leprechauns, you know what I mean? Like in my book, like I ain't never think nothing of it, you know what I'm saying? Like,
so it's not really that big of a deal to you.
It wasn't then, it's not now. I mean, it's like we from the same hood. I mean, just like it could be multiple kings, it could be multiple leprechauns. You know, at the end of the day, we pushing to promote our hood, you know what I'm saying? So I never looked at it like, you know, we from the same hood. You know what I'm saying? Shit, we gotta be on some positive shit and uplift the hood. So that's always been my approach to it. My goal in my mind is never to step on another man for me to come up or especially, you know, have a conflict with somebody where I'm from. You know what I'm saying? Like, so in my book, you know, I ain't got no problem. You know, I can honestly look at the camera and say that, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's all good.
I stand on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's real. I fuck with that.
Yeah. I mean, that's facts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Lucky Charm eating king, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, since a kid, you know, I always thought I was a little leprechaun, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Like you were saying with the multiple king thing, do you ever think y'all ever really gonna get down to that? Because I mean, this is like, it's like it happens and it disappears like 5-10 years and then boom, it's like everybody all fired up again about it again, man.
I mean, even with the Freestyle King thing, man, it's like basketball, man. Everybody got their eras of who they feel is the GOAT, the greatest. Some people feel it's about who got the most rings. If that's the case, then that's going to be Bill Russell. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Like some people feel like it's who went to the finals and undefeated. That's going to be Jordan. You know what I mean? So everybody got their own criteria for who they feel is the GOAT and is the greatest. You know what I'm saying? But I'll say this, man. When it comes to the style of freestyling, you know, you can like somebody and be like, hey, that's my favorite because, you know, you grew up, that was who was, you know, popping at that time and that inspired your childhood. But at the end of the day, when I say I'm the best, I mean that wholeheartedly because my style, like the people who came before me in the Screwed Up clique, most of them, not all of them, but most of them, the style was I'ma come down, you know what I mean? Break them boys off. It's that boy, you know what I'm saying? I'ma what, you know, hit the curb, sipping them, you know what I mean? And that's our culture, and I loved it. I grew up jamming it. But even back then, see, when I tell you my whole family did music, I grew up not just jamming Houston music. So people like Black Sheep and KRS-One and Big L and Big Pun and DITC, you know what I mean? Digging in the crates, yeah, all that shit. Like a lot of people from Houston not gonna really know that because they know what's in this radius, you know what I mean? And so I had homies and I got family that's from New York. So when they would listen to the Screwtapes, when I have them in town, they'll be like, what is that? Why is it so slow? What are they saying? You know? Like, they never really grasped it. Like, it was like, where are the bars? You know what I mean? And I'm like, damn. I'm like, well, this what we own. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a different in just saying some shit. See, the art of being an MC, master of ceremonies, mic crusher, all that, move the crowd, is to say something that's witty. That makes a person be like, man, rewind that, you know? A lot of people don't do their verses like that, you know? Some people just try to rhyme and stay with the same cadence. Riding in the Benz, sitting on the rims, smoking 3 for 10, my partner in the pen. That's fine. You know, that to a New Yorker, that's basic. You feel me? Like, niggas want to hear double entendres and things that's going to make you be like, oh, fuck. You know, like, did you hear what he said? Did you hear what Fabulous said? Did you hear what Lloyd Banks said? Like, lines that make you say, you know, shit that Jada kiss. You know, like, niggas want to hear them bars. Benny Siegel, you know what I'm saying? And I always felt like my mind was way ahead of its time when it came to that. You know what I'm saying? And so when I say I'm the best, you know, and when that's what even Screw said. Screw was like, bro, listen, man. It's a lot of people came to my house freestyle. He like, but bro, you different. He just like your vocabulary. Even Hawk, God bless his soul, rest in peace to John and Screw. Like, I had ciphers with Hawk and Pokey one time at Pokey House in Yellowstone. This is back in the days. They threw on some beats. It's me, Pokey, and Hawk. And they freestyling, we freestyling. We did some shit like where it was like, you know, nigga probably rap like 4 bars, you know what I mean? Then you got to catch it. Then it went from there to like 2 bars. So you got Hawk and Pokey, they trying to double team me. Like, you know, I'm the new young nigga, the youngest nigga. So they trying to, and I'm just like, nigga, yeah, holding my own. Like, nigga, I don't care if y'all try to double team me, you know what I'm saying? And they had gave me, you know what I'm saying, gave me my card that night. They was like, man, you got something, nigga. So I just feel like.
So they got an answer right here.
Okay. I feel like sometimes, you know, people have their own criterias of, you know, why they think this person is the best and blah, blah, blah. And that's fine. But when it comes to somebody being able to freestyle and make you be like, damn, did he write it? I can put it together like it sound like a song and you be like, you know, like, damn, you know what I mean? And then if I rap to the same beat, because I got different gears when I'm freestyling. Like, you know, when I'm first starting, I say it'll take me about 2 minutes to get like just warmed up type shit. I call it like my layup drill. at the 2 minute mark, okay, now I'm finna start, just, you know, giving it to him. And then like at the 5 minute mark, now I'm like super, super loose, and I'm just like, all right, so ain't no telling what's gonna come out the top of my head. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, do you with the Versus shit, you been keeping up with the Versus thing?
Yeah, I try to. I ain't watch all of them, but I've seen a lot of the, like the ones that I did miss, I was able to catch the motherfuckers on YouTube and, you know what I mean, stuff like that.
Yeah. Did you see the Jeezy and Gucci one? Because that was big. That was a big.
That was historic.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jeezy and Gucci, man. Yeah. That was big for the culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think, like, what if you and T.I. would do some shit like that?
Yeah, a lot of people asked that.
No shit.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's possible. But if Versus want me to do something, man, hey, man, say, man, I'm going to need a real, real big bag because somebody making some money off of that. Mm. Somebody getting some money. Yeah. You know what I mean? Off of it. But, yeah, it's possible. It's gonna take a real nice bag. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you do one with what if they just had just like a Houston Versus or something set up like that? Like just somebody in the H. Who would you want to go against? Who do you think would be your ideal opponent?
Hey, when you the best, it don't matter. Mm. It don't matter. You know. And even with the Versus, man, it's crazy, man. Like the energy, man, and just to see two artists like celebrate, you know, that it's a dope ass idea though. But nah, man, hey, I'm Floyd Mayweather, man. You put them in front of me, hey, man, I'm gonna knock them all out, man.
Yeah,
yeah, in real life.
Yeah, man, I had LaRon on here, man, and he was talking about how y'all was getting down back in the day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, like he had an opportunity, I think, to go with you. Like when you were leaving Sucker Free to go, I guess, do your own thing. Like, what was the whole reasoning for like wanting to leave Sucker Free in the first place to kind of start the Clover G thing?
I met Run. Let me tell you something about Run. I met Run. Like, I'm the first person out the Screwed Up Click go do a fucking Swisher House freestyle.
Right.
And I would always see Run over there, and Run was cool as fuck.
Yeah.
You know how every camp you do fuck with, you run into somebody that, you know, it might be 30 of them, but it might be that one person you gravitate toward the most.
Yeah.
It was just me and Run. We just, like, we clicked. And so I went and talked to his grandma, and it was just like, I believe in him. You know, here I am, like, what, 18, 19? And I took him out of school, paid for him to get a tutor. I ain't ever took nobody out of school.
Mm.
But, I mean, hey, I figured it out. And, yeah, Run Talented. He was just with me like 2 weeks ago when I was shooting a video for Cash App. And he came when I was shooting the Black Badge Boy video. Yeah, I was just with him like 2 weeks ago, man. Yeah. Shout out to Run, man. That's my guy. I got a new record with him, too.
Oh, shit.
I ain't gonna say who else on it, but it's a crazy record.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's what's up. But nah, we was talking about, you know what I'm saying, why you made the transition from going to from Sucker Free to like Clover G and all that.
So you asking me why?
Yeah.
I mean, business.
Was it just more so just wanting to boss up?
Well, I always came in the game a CEO, like even with Sucker Free. Sucker Free was an entertainment company at first.
Yeah.
And then I'm the one that's like, man, let's make it a record label. You know what I'm saying? And so then it turned into a record label and I was part CEO as well.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so I came in the game of CEO, but even before that, I had already had Clover G Records. I just never put it out officially. You know what I'm saying? You know how, like, I draw too, so I used to draw.
Yeah.
Yeah, I already drew. I already knew how I wanted it with the G in the middle. G stand for God. But yeah, nah, just the business. I felt the business wasn't right. I just felt that, you know, me being a CEO and the artist, you know, that means I'm supposed to make more money. Like, you see what I'm saying? And I just wasn't seeing eye to eye with Hump at the time. And so I just decided to part ways and do my own thing. And the dope part about it is, like, me and Hump, we cool now. You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up.
Like, yeah. We talk, we text every once in a while. But, I had went to one of his comedy shows and took my dad. It was Father's Day. I think, like, 2 years ago, something like that. Like, so, yeah, me and Hump cool. I be talking to Deron. We be talking on Instagram and shit. My guy, that's his nephew. He used to play pro basketball overseas and shit. So, but yeah, you know, it was just time for me to just really do things the way I wanted to do them, man. And it paid the fuck off.
Man, but even when, okay, so even during the Sucker Free era, though, man, talk about when y'all did the H-Town Mob movie, man.
Man, that was crazy, man. Man, they hit me.
Because you had a role, in, like, you had, like, a major role in that shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Early in your career.
I ain't gonna lie. I felt like I was, I had the best character on that bitch. like in real life, because it was other people in the movie that they were like, yeah, this person is, you know, a big actor, and they were in this movie, and they did this, and, man, when I watched the final edit of it, I'm like, I ain't gonna lie, I came through and stole the show, because it's a lot of lines that they wrote. I would be like, this ain't how I would say it. Like, I actually changed a lot of the lines so it made sense and it felt legit. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I had fun doing that, though, man. That was cool. I got to be on the movie soundtrack.
Yeah. And, you remember anything about when y'all was, like, shooting it all there? Like, anything?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, I remember. Like, everything about it, bro. Like, even the beginning of the movie, I didn't have tattoos right here. And then, like, toward the end, I did. So it's, like, one part where I'm sitting, like, at the studio or whatever, and I ain't had a tats. But, man, there's so many dope movie scenes of that. Like, man, even toward the end, like, some way, like, some of the footage or the audio had got messed up or whatever, and we had to go in the studio and, like, re-say some of the lines. Like, it's this one part we riding in the truck, and I'm telling my partner to get out his deal or whatever, and you can just tell, like, I can tell, because I know that the audio, it sounds different from the rest of the movie, because we had to go back and redo it, but... Yeah, that was cool, bro. Being on another movie set. You know, I've been on movie sets before. Like I went to River Oaks Elementary, so I went to school with white people, you know what I'm saying, predominantly. And because when I went to when I went to J.J. Rose in my neighborhood, like, they was like, I'm too smart. So after that, I went to River Oaks, a Vanguard program. So I was already learning how to speak Spanish, French, direct, build, acting sets, props, you know what I mean? Edit, computers, like I was already on it, you know what I mean? So to be in the movie and actually playing it and knowing it is gonna come out, something's gonna come out, it was phenomenal, man. Like, a great experience, man. I'll never forget it. And that's why I don't let directors or cameramen play with me, especially when it comes to the editing and running up my budget and all that type of shit, because I know how to edit too. So I know the star game, you know what I mean? And I know how to maximize my time, you know what I mean? That was a fun ass time though.
Yeah, yeah. Who was behind that movie?
Man, I was told, I don't know for sure, I was told back then it was Latroy, I think a guy that used to work at 97.9 named Eddie, something like that, Eddie Corrales or something like that. I think they were like behind putting it out, something like that, you know. And SPM, he may have had something to do with it too. He was in it as well. So, you know what I'm saying? So, that's what I was told.
Yeah. Even with that storyline, man, how many times have you seen like that shit just go down, like niggas just get lost in the game like that?
Like who?
Like in the movie, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh boy, like he just really got caught up and just got lost in the game, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, it happens a lot. It happens often. And a lot of times, like with this, even with life though, man, a lot of people, they don't realize that you not where you at because you in your own way. A lot of people, they quick to point fingers at this person, that person, this person. I'm not here because... it's your fault. You didn't do this. If you would have put me on this song, I would have blew up. Like, bro, at the end of the day, bro, it's your fault. On what you allow somebody to do to you, on what you allow yourself to do to not get to where you need to be. But yeah, I see that shit all the time. Because this the thing, man. A lot of artists, they get so caught up in being the artist and the image and the talent part of it. They don't give a fuck about the the PR, the being in good graces with DJs, the, you know, showing love, taking that extra picture, you know what I'm saying? Giving that DJ that drop when that DJ asks for the drop, you know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers rather being VIP, just cool, antisocial. Like me, man, fuck that. When I go to the club, I just literally did an interview with the Nerve DJs, Big Hef and them, all of them, you know what I'm saying? Like 1,500 DJs. And I told them, when I go to the club and I walk in and they try to walk me to the green room or the VIP, the first place I go is to the DJ. I say, nope, take me to the DJ first. I go to the DJ booth. I don't care if it's way on the other side of the club. You know what I mean? I'm going. I don't care if we got to walk through the whole crowd. I'm going to go say what's up to the DJ, look him in his eyes, you know, intro myself. If I don't have his info, swap numbers, emails, boom, boom, boom. But now, you know, with the COVID, you know, I did a deal with this company called ClearCard. You know, make sure y'all support it, man. Like, you meet somebody, they want your info, you just tap the card on their phone and all your information go. Phone number, email, album, mixtape, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to show it to you. I got one in my bag. Get it out of my wallet. So, you know.
Yeah. Man, you've done a whole lot of shit. Do you think you get the proper respect, you know what I'm saying, that you deserve, man? For all your, like, contributions and really, like, you know, taking it there, you know what I'm saying, as far as just really coming out the city and even before the 2005 movement, you know what I'm saying, having your big run, you know what I mean, with Game Over, and even before that, just where we ball Game Over, Sunshine and all that, you know what I mean?
Nah, I don't feel I get my props that I deserve, but if I cared about props, I would have been stopped. Hmm. It's like this, man. Give me the one with my picture. It's in my wallet. Let me see it. Yeah, I don't care about that shit, man. Like, if I get the accolades, that's fine. If I don't, that's fine. You know what I'm saying? It's the clear card right here. You know what I'm saying? So somebody wants your information, you just tap it on the top of your phone, you know what I'm saying? Or you scan the QR code, and the shit just goes there. It's crazy. I partnered up with these people, man. The link popped up? Yeah. So now all my info in there, email number, and the Flip Mayweather mixtape. So you ain't got to be holding business cards and COVID, all that. You tap your shit, keep it moving. You did. Clear card.
Man, that's what's up.
Yeah, man.
That's what's up, man. Well, shit, damn. What else you got going on, man? Goddamn.
Theshelves.com. It turns your phone into an iCloud computer. You know, you can edit videos on it. You know, shout out to my partner, Andrew. Shout out Jay Money, Steve, you know what I'm saying? Young Park, Ted, the whole gang, man. But I accomplished all the goals I said I wanted to, bro. I wanted a gold album. I've been had that, you know what I'm saying? And my final goal was to be a billionaire. That's the next goal. So between Exotic Pop and Shelves.com and a couple other ideas, I should be reaching that goal, man, very soon. And like with the pandemic, man, you know, my last album, The Leprechaun, my last solo album, The Leprechaun 2, like I wanted to start and end where, you know, I started, even though I've been doing albums before The Leprechaun came out, but my first official, you know what I mean, release, because back even before that album came out, like elementary, middle school, it was different companies that I used to order, you know, cassette tapes from, and then when CDs came out, you know, it was this place called Disc Makers, you know what I mean? I used to always put out little EPs, you know what I mean? Mm. But the pandemic came, man, and the first 2 weeks, I'm like, fuck, it fucked up like the rollout for my Leprechaun 2 album, South by Southwest. I had like $40,000 worth of like events going on. We had just different promo items, man. I probably lost about a good 80K. And like just money. So that shit was like, fuck. First 2 weeks, I was like, damn, this crazy. You know what I mean? But thank God that I never stopped collaborating and doing shit with people, right? So my residuals, I'm on so many albums. Like, I'll be in the Guinness Book of World Records before it's all said and done. Mm. I got the most collaborations. Like, I probably do, like, right now, I'd say, like, now I probably do, like, 8 features a week. But, like, when the pandemic came, man, I was doing, like, 15. Damn. Like, just crazy. But even before the pandemic, like, I was probably doing about, I'd say, like, 4 or 5 a week. You know, it just fluctuates, man. So I'm like, all right, well, we in the house. What else can I work on? So I'm like, let me go and pull out some of these ideas I've been sitting on, because I believe as a mastermind and a genius, you don't expose your other ideas to people if they're not in the thinking pattern or the realm that you are in. Because I could tell one idea to somebody who don't care about leaving Houston. All they want to do is trap. They ain't go care about none of that. They ain't gonna understand the language I'm talking. So I said, all right, I'm gonna go work on my podcast. Now my podcast, I came up with the idea to do a podcast like 8 years ago. I say, when I do my podcast, this is all I knew about it. Like I say, when I do the podcast, I'm gonna make mine different. I'm gonna put my questions on a wheel. I'm gonna make the people spin a wheel. And that's all I knew, right? That's all I knew. That was so, but I kept putting it on the back burner because I'm like, I'm making bread off the features. I'm doing this, Exotic Pop taking off. So I really didn't care, but I said, let me go on and put the foot down. So when the pandemic hit, we started doing the podcast February, like in Miami when the Super Bowl was out there. And we ran into everybody out there, you know. Floyd Mayweather, just Moneybagg, yo, just everybody was out there. Migos, Gil Green, Akon, Zoe Dollars, like, so we interviewed different people. Jay Diggs, R.P. Mac Dre, and man, what's my guy, man? I can't believe his name on the tip of my tongue. He was on the Versus with Too Short. Mr. Fab, man, my guy, Mr. Fab. So we interviewed them. And that's been going crazy. Our first sponsor, probably Internet Access, they sponsored like season one. And that company just sold for a few hundred million. Mm-hmm. Now our new sponsor is Shells.com, and that's gonna be worth like $1 billion, because that turning your phone to an iCloud computer, like we have programs that we're working on right now with schools across the nation, even my alma mater, you know what I mean? Like Worthen, like the principal. Shout out to Everett, man, Mr. Everett, what up? And, you know, I work hand in hand with the mayor, so we about to really change these people's lives and really help these schools. And I'm also about to design Worthen basketball, the jerseys, and donate the uniforms. So same way kind of how Michael Jordan do for North Carolina, how he go to his alma mater and design it. They got special jerseys and, yeah, so, you know, that's what I'm on. I'm on some businessman, grown-up king shit. So, you know, podcast and then my movie. So, peep this. Now, I got like 8 movies like already in my mind. 3 of them already, I wrote already. So, I got them all lined out and planned out how I want them to come out, the rollout. So, I started working on the movie soundtrack, right? So, the first movie that's coming out, it's called King Life. You know what I mean? It's a street tale. You know, 2 homies, they family go through something and they can't be homies no more, but they childhood friends, and then it just turns into a war. And it's crazy as fuck. And got some nice names, and I'll make the announcement, come back soon and tell you that. Yeah. But I also have a movie coming about my life, my biopic, Underground Legend. So I started recording both of those movie soundtrack records, and I'm pretty much, I'm about 40% done with Underground Legend soundtrack. And the King Light movie soundtrack, we about 50% done. Because some of those songs that was going on Underground Legend, they match with the storyline of the King Life. So, but I got some shit coming, man. And I got a comedy show as well as a comedy movie. And the comedian that's starring in the movie is gonna blow y'all away. But I can't get that info out either. But that's what I've been doing, bro. I've been diversifying my portfolio even more, pulling out them ideas I've been sitting on.
Hell yeah. Well, shit, man. You got anything else so we get before we get about here?
To all the artists out there, man, all the DJs, just anybody that's fucking with the music, man, just don't forget why you got in this shit. You know what I'm saying? You know, the pandemic came and it made a lot of people have to humble themselves and really, you know, be grateful for what they got. So all I can tell you, man, my granny told me, even a dog deserves respect. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Meaning, I'm going to treat the trash man the same way I'm going to treat the boss of the company. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? Life short. Like I said, I just lost my mom. You know, rest in peace to Mary Weston. Rest in peace to my grandpa, Robert Harris. And just cherish the time you got with people, man. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the problems and a lot of shit that people be, you know, making issues about, you know what I'm saying? They quick to, you know, go off on their homeboy, do something to somebody that look like them, but the main people you need to be having that energy against, you ain't doing shit to them. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, man, if you can talk that shit out, man, understanding is everything. You know, that's what my dad always told me. So, you know, just think smart, man. You know, and rest in peace to all the soldiers we lost, all the rappers, everybody, man. You know what I'm saying? And that's where I'm at with it, man. I'm Flip Gates, a.k.a. Flip Mayweather. Mm. I will be a billionaire. Shout out to my guy AJ, you know, linking us up again, man. Look out for me and the Black Al Capone single, Celebrate. That shit I not. But jam that Flip Mayweather, man. And don't forget, Lil Flip and Zero Kings of the South 2 coming. It's coming. That shit jamming like a motherfucker. I ain't gonna lie. Like, for real, for real. Exotic Pod.
That's what it is, man. It's the Donnie Houston Podcast, man. Lil Flip. Hey, man, we out.
We out. Hey, man, say, man. Yee-dee.